We continue now with our summer football coaches profiles. This time we're talking with Danvers High School football coach Ryan Nolan. And Ryan, welcome back. How's your summer going?
Oh, it's been great. It's nice, you know, plenty of football stuff going on, but also a little bit more time to relax and recharge and get ready for the school year and the football season.
You know, I know some coaches at the varsity level coach more than one sport, and for the life of me, I don't know how they do it, especially if you coach football. Football is it's pretty all-consuming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, man, it says a lot about the kids. Obviously, we want everybody to play sports three seasons, but we're always trying to get them in the weight room and be working on themselves physically for football and the other sports too. So the kids, it's a year-round commitment to them in one fashion or another. And again, for the coaches, for us too, we're involved in that. And it's not just the head coach, myself. It's all the assistants that go and, you know, put in the time so the kids have the best experience they can have. So it's obviously a labor of love, but you know, you're definitely involved year-round.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure it's that way with all the coaches that we've talked to in the conference and in the leagues. They say the same thing. They want their kids to take part in as many sports as possible, even though you can have certain things you want them to do all year round. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that. Let's go back now. Your earliest memory of seeing, watching, hearing about football, can you remember?
I guess for myself, the thing that resonates the most, I grew up, my parents' house was the backyard abutted the Stoneham football practice field. So I was right next to the high school that was always around. And Stoneham, obviously, I went there. It was real special to me. But I remember my first memories, I think, are going to Woven football games where my uncles and my father grew up. And, you know, it was quite the event back when they had the Saturday afternoon games or at noon to go by somebody's house before and eat and then go down to the game in a big group and then afterwards go back to somebody's house. That's something that really stuck out in my mind. And, you know, going to those Woven games with my, you know, a lot of times with my father and my uncles and with their friends. And, you know, that was special, especially because we knew a lot of the coaches, and we'd go to the John O'Reilly's house right next to the Woven High School field, and all the coaches were there, and you got to know them and the players. And, you know, it was a real special, special thing as a young kid.
So you started taking notes early, even if you might not have known it.
Oh, no, I was watching the game having fun. I can remember all those football games where all the kids would just go down to the park, and you'd make friends quickly, you know, playing tackle football at 7 years old, like, in a different town.
But listening, but watching, all the watching you did and all the conversations you probably heard among family members, it had to sink into your DNA. When did you first start playing football? At what age?
I didn't start playing football until I was a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Stoneham's youth program, they were split between Woburn and Wakefield, and I played the other sports. And my father, although he loved football, and he actually helped coach Pop Warner and Woburn in the 70s, thought it'd be better to wait a little bit, not jump right into it. So my first year playing was my freshman year in high school.
What was that like? Take me back to when you first tried out, because I can remember when I did, and even though it was 1,000 years ago, it still stands out in my mind.
I can remember how, you know, the kids, how much older they were, how much bigger they were, how serious it was going into that freshman year. And, you know, you had to adjust quickly, and you learned just to work hard and be quiet, keep your head down, and, you know, with just any opportunity you had to get out there, just do the best you could. But I can remember feeling pretty intimidated.
Yeah, that's the word.
When we got to that point.
That's the word. What's your memories about playing? In other words, your progression from a freshman right on through the next 3 years?
Well, I remember my first game freshman year of all places we went in, and we had a pretty good group as a freshman team. We had 35 kids, and we went over to play Woven. And, you know, I had a couple, like, grandparents there, aunts, uncles, my father's friends, a couple of them were playing. I was so excited my first game. And I sat on the sideline. I didn't play one play of the whole game. They found a way, like, there was 11 guys who played a lot who were good. Mm-hmm. And then they found a way to get all the other kids at the bottom end, and they just forgot about me. So I remember being crushed that first game, not playing one snap. But they made me go and tell the coaches I didn't get in, and then they put me in the JV game on Saturday. So it was quite the experience. But, you know, I try to always remember that when we get the kids in there, especially the new players, make sure everyone's involved and, you know, part of it. But my first football game ever, I stood on the sidelines.
Wow. Well, I think it's great that as a teacher and as a coach, you remember that and you use that, in your coaching style and philosophy too. That's great because, every kid can contribute in one way or another, I suppose.
And I think that's one of the lessons I learned from football growing up, talking to all these people. Anybody can play football. It's not like you need to know how to skate at a young age or be tall in basketball and only five kids are out there or play baseball from a young age. You can go in there and you can play football if you want to work hard, you're tough, you know, and you're willing to go out there and find your role. So I think football is a special sport in that regard.
All right. What about a happy memory from high school?
Oh, geez. There were plenty of those, too. But I think it was just competing with the kids I grew up with. And we had my sophomore year, we won the state championship in baseball with a really good team that was like ended up being ranked 25th in the country. We went to the Super Bowl that year as well in football and got really – we lost to a very good Acton Boxborough team. And in basketball, I mean, we had successful seasons all 4 years there. I think we were – last 3 years, we were 13-7 in a really tough Middlesex league, and Stoneham not being known for basketball. But, you know, not necessarily games, and we've had some big wins. It was the kids I played with and playing for my town and, you know, seeing these guys now – you know, we were the little engine that could, the smallest town in the league, and just the kids were so talented, and the kids played so hard, it meant so much, and it was always, you know, us going against the bigger boys, the Reddings, the Woobins, other towns like that, and how much, you know, the kids and the coaches, collectively, everyone kind of had a chip on their shoulder, really wanted to show what they could do.
Were you a multi-sport athlete?
Yes, I played football, basketball, and baseball.
All right. What positions did you play in each of those?
Well, I was an undersized power forward, but we just ran and jumped and played full court the majority of the time in basketball. Mm-hmm. In baseball, I pitched and I played third base and a little bit of outfield. And then in football, I played kind of tight end, H-back. Mm-hmm. And as the years went, I went from a safety to outside backer to inside backer.
Wow. All right. So, well, you, man, and a lot of coaches – they've done that. It's great. And I think that's a model you can tell the kids too, or at least parents who want to focus on one sport. Hey, listen, you know, think about the other stuff because you gain something. Each sport helps you play the other sport.
Oh, absolutely. And again, like different things. Basketball, you see the athleticism that you develop playing basketball. You bring that over to football. I think baseball was more of like a mindset, especially Stoneham. We had some really good teams, and just every pitch, every step, everything that you did was ultra important, and that you had to be focused with that, with everything. And, you know, a lapse could, you know, be a critical error that could, you know, change the outcome of the game. Mm-hmm. So the mental aspect of baseball, I thought, was something that can easily be brought into football, and you see it in the kids today.
What was your experience like now as a senior planning to go to college?
I was kind of one of the, we had a really good class ahead of me, and I played and I was involved, but I matured later than other kids. So I came in at 5'4", 135 pounds, and then I just grew 2 or 3 inches every year. So I was still kind of developing, and I was fortunate enough to go and do a postgraduate year. So I looked at schools, but then the opportunity to do a PG year at the Salisbury School in Connecticut came through, and I was fortunate enough that my parents, you know, spent some money and sacrifice to send me over there, and I had a great experience there as a postgraduate.
Another great lesson. I think that's so cool because so many times, even if you're not an athlete, kids just rush to get into college, or they may have pressure from the parents to get into college, and they're not quite ready, either mentally, physically, or emotionally. So I appreciate your saying that. And beyond, so what happened the next year while you're in grad school, the fifth year? What happened? You know, what was the plan after that?
Well, the fifth year, it couldn't have gone much better. We got a brand new coach, two new coaches. The assistant coach, Ned Burke, ended up being offensive assistant for the Patriots 2 years later for a couple of years.
Wow.
And he was a great player at Cornell. And Sean Brennan, who was the head coach in his first year, ended up having a great career at Salisbury. Then he went down to Brunswick, and then he ended up becoming a headmaster at a couple different schools. But it was great. We ended up going undefeated and winning the New England championship and beating Belmont Hill at Boston College for the last game. And, you know, I developed physically, learned more about the game and started to get a little bit more attention. Also, the schoolwork and kind of raising my academic profile got me more exposure to more colleges. So it worked out really, really well. It was a lot of work. It was an all boys school, 6 days a week school, played three sports there as well, but it was a tremendous opportunity for me.
Well,
so after that, excuse me?
No, go ahead.
And then after that, looking at schools, and I had my heart set to go to Trinity, and I thought everything was all set, and they had their Coach Miller, I believe, who just retired after 33 years. He retired, and they brought in the defensive coordinator, and I found out I no longer had an admission spot. So at the last second, I was hustling, and my head coach brought me up to his alma mater, to Middlebury, and then the next week I went over to Hamilton and then made a decision and decided to go to Hamilton College.
Wow, what a route. That's and I know how disappointing that can be when you you're ready to go somewhere, it's all set, and then it falls through. But you recovered nicely. And what about Hamilton? How was your career there, both academically and in sports?
Well, in sports, I probably did a little bit better. Again, it was a school that I had a great opportunity to go to, with like just some real special people that were outstanding students and smart. I made it through academically. I ended up majoring in government, but football was where I felt most comfortable and found the most success. So I played 4 years there as a linebacker, and you know, I've made some friends I still have today, some of my best friends that, you know, you don't see them for 5 years and you bump into each other and you could sit there and talk for a day.
Mm-hmm.
But just really fortunate. We weren't the best team. I think, you know, we had a lot of 2-6 seasons, but just made good friends, got able to play football at a college level, and, you know, just was a great experience.
I think that's another lesson, too, as a coach, that you can impart on kids or parents. I keep going back to the parents, in that success does not always equate to, you know, a perfect season. There are other ways to be successful, many other ways that are equally or is more important. Tell me now about, and I think you've touched on it, some of your coaching influences, who you've been influenced by, who've left an impression with you in any of the sports.
Well, I think growing up, we were real fortunate. Stone was a really big baseball town, and, you know, being in the top five, we had my neighbor across the street pitched at Alabama, but year after year after year, it was really good high level of high school baseball, and Coach Seabury was great, and he was a legend. He played hockey at Northeastern. He was a great baseball coach, a great golfer, just a great guy. But I think about like him just setting a standard and the program being there, that you knew you had to do things the right way, and that it wouldn't be tolerated to do it other ways, and that you had to come in and perform. And I remember he was great with that. Another guy, Tommy Anderson, was a freshman coach, probably one of the best coaches I've ever had, just with teaching you how to play the game the right way, compete, and just practice the right way, and it had to be important to you. So as a young kid, I think those things really stuck with me. I had a great experience with basketball with Bill Tilley and Mike Carr, who used to coach, or passed away, who coached over at Lynn English. But that wasn't my best sport, but I felt as though like they really gave me the opportunity to compete. And we were a bunch of just athletes there, not basketball players, but we had success. And, you know, I really, those resonate with me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And football, probably Coach Laney, who was great, who has passed away as well. He had a big impact. He was a great guy. And like, he really got us to go up there and play. But Bobby Powers, who I coached with later, really instilled the value of the weight room and training and work ethic and just putting the time in over and over and over. And that's something I took with me through high school into college, doing that work. And as a coach, I try to like instill in the kids that, you know, regardless of where you're at with your ability, going in the weight room, putting that work in, get you to a point you can contribute and you can be the best you can be and help the team out with that. So I think Bobby Powell is probably the biggest influence with that piece, with the weight room and that, putting the effort in every day and stacking one day on top of another, 1 week on another, 1 month on another, and see where you end up. So that's one thing we want to get across to the kids that I'm coaching now.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious in the years you'd be at Danvers, I've been at Danvers, that stands out, of course, the toughness of your teams and your kids. You know, whether or not they're the most talented team in the league, they're very competitive and very physical, which is, I think that's what you want in football. You know, you've had such extensive experience, Ryan, as a coach too, being a young man. I have to ask you a question I hadn't thought of before, and I don't want specifics or names, but throughout your career, throughout your lifetime as an educator and as a coach and as an athlete, were there things that you saw among coaches or with a particular coach that you said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it differently if I ever have the chance. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, and even as a teacher, I saw that. Without being negative, I'd say, no, that's not my style. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I think generally the biggest thing is there's going to be, when you put everything in, there's going to be disappointment. As coaches, we're going to make mistakes. Kids, as players, are going to make mistakes. I think the one thing I just would never want to do is to be somebody to go and say, well, it wasn't me, it's this person. Or blame it on a kid or blame it on a coach. Mm-hmm. And again, when you're in a game and stuff, it's emotional. But to walk away from it afterwards, to I think as an adult, to, you know, to take the blame if things don't go well and to make sure you make it all about the kids when things do. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you see some people over the years that it kind of becomes about them. And I just, you know, and again, you want to do a good job. You want to put a good product out there. You want to make sure that, you know, you're putting the work in and people understand that, like, you're doing the right things. But I think the biggest thing is it's, you know, about the kids, and you can be disappointed and things will happen. But I just hate it when you see coaches put up their chest when things go well and mm-hmm. you kind of get the feeling it's all about them. And all of a sudden when things don't go well, oh, well, we couldn't do this.
Good point.
This person, that yep. person, whether it's in the media or behind closed doors, I just think it's really important to, like, if there's one thing in football that's tough, any sport, at the end of the day, be a great teammate and, you know, never throw somebody under the bus, you know.
I had a student one time who just couldn't pass a test or a quiz, just couldn't do it. And I think she was upper level. I think she was a junior or senior. And then finally one day we had a huge test that a lot was riding on. It could have been a final exam or a mid-year. I think it was a mid-year exam. And she got a 70, which was a passing grade. It was a C-, but that was, you know, in mathematics it's easy to grade a test. And she got a 70. And when I gave her the paper back, before I gave it back, I said, you have a refrigerator paper here. Do you want to see it? And she looked at it and took it, and she was smiling from ear to ear. And I said, I want you to go home and take a picture of that on the refrigerator because you should be very proud of that. And I didn't say that in front of, you know, the whole class. I told her that privately because it's just something when you see a kid struggling in a certain area, or anybody for that matter, well, as you say, you got to be a good teammate. And because you never know what that person's going to come up with the next time.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, too, because – the 70, working for that 70 and coming through and learning, you putting the work in and then learning from the experience, it's so similar to some of the sports. Some kids walk in and as freshmen they can compete.
Mm-hmm.
There's other kids that work really hard to find a role on a team,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a special team here or there, or maybe they're the other big tackle you bring in on defense, or maybe they're a punter, a kicker, a long snapper. But they work really hard to get to that role, so I think it's really important for us as coaches to, first of all, like, look and try to find the absolute best and find that role for the kid, work with them, and then celebrate them when they go and they achieve it. And again, it's different for everyone. You can have the best athlete in the league not doing the right thing and not seeing the potential throw. And you get some kids that just work their butt off, and they might not be in the newspaper and other things like that, but they're making a contribution and they're really fulfilling their potential.
Excellent. Now, in terms of, your experience as a head coach, what's gotten easier for you, Ryan? If you go back to 2017 when you first started, what's become easier for you as a head coach? Because it involves so many things. It's a 12-month-a-year job, and there are a lot of details you have to take care of besides when you're on the field.
What's gotten easier? I think it's just the normalcy to understand what you're going to do, what the yearly schedule looks like. This point in the summer, this is what we're doing. You know, in the spring, we're trying to get in the weight room in the morning. Know what you're basically doing and have kind of the template there, and then kind of go and see where you can adjust it and fine-tune things to be a bit more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And again, every year has its own challenges, not just a pandemic year, but just rolling with the punches, understanding what's going on and trying to, you know, put together the best structure to the program as possible. I think that's one thing that's gotten easier. I think I'm fortunate in the coaches at Danvers. We've had the same type of kids that, like, will come in, do the work, and they've been, regardless of what the situation outside was, they've come in and do what we ask them to do and do the best they possibly can. So that's another thing, just kind of I feel bad. It's almost just an assumed thing. The kid's going to come in and work, but we're real fortunate with that. But the structure, I'd say, is the easier thing as things go on.
Finally, Coach, it's a yearly proposition. I think we talked in our warm-up about, you know, it's football for you almost all the time with clinics and studying and everything else. When you got up this morning, what's the first thing you thought about this edition of your Danvers High School football team that has yet to meet formally?
Well, when I got up this morning, I got up early because we were going down to the weight room to get our workout in, and we had 36 kids there. I guess one of the things I was thinking about is, like, how are we going to go and make sure we get all these eighth graders coming into ninth grade? How are we going to get them into the program? How are we going to contact them? How are we going to get them involved and excited? So that was actually what's going through my head this morning, driving to the workout. And again, you know, just as far as the outlook for this year, with, you know, a lot of excitement and, you know, just making sure the kids are doing everything they need to do. I just want to make sure myself and the other coaches do everything that we can do, to have the type of season that we're really trying to have.
Ryan, it's been great to know you a little bit better through this conversation. I thank you so much for the time. And we'll be talking, about the kids in a couple of weeks.
All right, sounds great, but really appreciate it. I hope you enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thanks, Ryan. You too. Take care, Coach.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. That is Danvers High School football coach Ryan Nolan. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.